Amen. Thank you so much, and I'm delighted you're here today, and a great crowd. I've been battling this voice thing since last Sunday night, and I apologize if it gets too irritating. I'll just preach an extra hour or so, but if it is, I'll be in church tonight, but if it's too frustrating to you, I'll have someone else preach. I'm ready for tonight, and visitors, I feel I owe everyone an apology. I like shouting in service and amen in service and tap my toe. I feel like I'm just dull over here today. But if you'll give me an amen, I promise you I'll get done preaching. And so that'd be a good place to say amen. Now, my ears are stuffed. I have no idea what you're saying. But I'm having a good time. Someone says, well, what are you taking? I've tried a pinch of heroin, but it hasn't worked. And so I don't know, but I do apologize. And I said that one time years ago, and someone rebuked me. Got all these kids here. Well, where do you think I got it? About all these kids here. But I apologize if I offended you. But you know I'm not on heroin. Good night. I wouldn't touch it. I touch cocaine quite often, but never heroin. And of course, I guess I could touch marijuana. It's legal now. Still illegal with God. But I hope that you understand that I'm not on all that stuff. It's an amazing thing when you don't necessarily feel well, how many people come up with remedies for you. Have you tried? Before you even start that, I've tried it. I've tried it all. If you have some remedy, my wife wants to know about this. She's that pretty girl in the second row, third row back there. You let her know afterwards the remedy, and we'll try it on someone else. I'm sure of that. We're in the book of Matthew today. And visitors, I'm so grateful that you're here. We have many visitors, and perhaps at the close have Brother Givinelli introduce all of you to us. And we're grateful that you're in the Lord's house. I still can't get over Easter last Sunday. It was such a wonderful day. I don't know how many were saved on Saturday out door knocking. I'm guessing about the best I could tell, about 50 people. We had 105 people in our services saved last Sunday. While we're here, these buildings have refilled now again. And so they're filled and we're in here, balconies, lower floor. In addition, the other property is jam-packed over there with the B-Bus ministry, the teenagers, and as well the Spanish ministry. And you add them all up, we had 105 people saved last Easter Sunday, last Sunday. And then the week before was bus day, and I don't remember the number, but the front was just filled with folks. And I understand out in the second floor hallways up there, many people are outside there leading people to Christ. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment will all stand before a holy God. Either at the great white throne judgment for those that know not Christ, or the bema seat judgment for those that have been saved. And I hope that you understand that everyone must know they can be born again. What a wonderful truth from the Word of God to know that I'm saved. God saved me so many years ago, about 20 minutes from here, and I'm grateful that I've always been saved. You know, I've not felt like it a lot of times. And that feeling of not feeling saved, I find either is one of two things. The doubt comes because you're not saved, or the doubt comes because of sin. And when we sin, we break fellowship with God. We don't break sonship. Once you become a child of God, you're forever His. And no man's able to ever pluck you out of His hand, John 10 tells us. But I tell you, sin divides us, and so that's why, pardon me, we confess our sin, not to me, not to a church, but to the holy God, to restore fellowship, not sonship. Well, today we're here in the Gospel of Matthew, and you'll see this same story that we read in Matthew and in the book of Mark and the book of Luke, and the book of John. And I read them this week. I just can't. The Lord brought to my attention something that I know it was this week, but I think it was a week or two ago perhaps, of little things. It's amazing in the Bible how often he refers to little things. And I want you to see what God has been speaking to my heart about the little things. It's occupied my mind this week and last week. The little things like, I love you. If you're a parent, your children ought to hear that every time that you leave their presence. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. You say, well, that's so syrupy. Well, get over it. The day may come that you receive a phone call. That could have been your last one. I've tried not to talk about my dad, but I always do. But his last words that I have on my phone from a year ago when he passed away is, I love you, son. I know I just told you that. I love you, son. Those words mean so much to me. I have a wonderful wife for these many years now, and I tell her every time, and she tells me when we leave one another's presence, I love you. Well, I hang up on the phone. And by the way, you say, well, you're just a Christian. That's what I'm on airplanes all the time. And I'll hear someone say, I got to get off the phone. We're ready to push back. And they're telling me just to power down. I love you, son. I love you, wife. I love you, so-and-so. Those are little words. How about the little word, I'm sorry? Ladies, you have no idea what that word is about, but we as men have mastered it. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I said to my wife one time, I'm sorry I was wrong. She goes, well, yes, of course you were wrong. Well, I don't know if she said that, but it seems like I am the one that's wrong. Don't you hate crawling, fellas? I hate it. I hate it. I remember the last time I made a mistake, and it was 1931, I think it was, last time. But, oh, I hate to crawl. I hate to say I'm sorry. It's that pride in me. How about the little word, thank you? Thank you. I went and got a cup of coffee this morning because I thought it'd be good for this voice. So don't tell me, oh, you got to get off the caffeine. I know that. One cup a day is all I have. But nonetheless, and all that the person said, huh? That's all they said to me behind the counter, huh? Intelligent. Huh? I mean, I can't believe it. I said, good morning. Huh? That was all I got. Huh? My goodness gracious, thank you. Forgive me. I love you. The Bible is filled with little things. In 1 Kings, we see that they hadn't had any rain for 3.5 years. And the prophet sent the man out and he said, I see a little cloud. Well, you know, that little cloud began to build and it brought rain. But God made sure that he indicated it was just a little cloud. I think about the little army with 300 soldiers against tens of thousands of soldiers. It was just a little army. I think of the widow's mite. It was so small. It was so, it would seem, insignificant. In 2 Kings in chapter 5, there's a man who was the captain of the host of the king of Syria, and his name was Naaman. And Naaman became a leper. And a little maid, I love the story of the little maid. There's so many people in that story. The captain of the host, the king of Syria, the king of Israel, the man of God. And on it goes. And the little maid came in. She was the little maid to the lady who was married to the captain of the host who was a leper. And the Bible said, the little maid, a little maid came in. And the little maid said, she said, would to God, my Lord, would go to the prophet. Would to God that my Lord, I just cleared up right there. I got it now. I think, would to God, my Lord, my master, would get to the prophet. He'd heal him. He'd heal him. He'd take care of him. You know what it was? It wasn't the king of Israel, and it wasn't the king of Syria. And it wasn't the prophet. It was just a little maid. Just a little maid. You're as a young teenager, you might be here today, a 12 or 13-year-old little girl. A little girl might say, "Mother, you're doing such a good job as my mother. I'm so proud to be your daughter." Every mother has moments in her life where she thinks, "I'm a terrible mother." You might be a good Christian, but every mother goes through those moments where she says, I wish my kids had, I'm not what I should be for them. Every dad goes through that. You know, dear lady, once in a while, it might be good to say to your husband, "You're a good husband." Now, don't go on. You've given a heart attack already, but you're a good husband. The importance of little things. Remember that there was a boy by the name of Samuel, and his mother had prayed from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, and he prayed that God would give her a son. And she said, "God, if you give me a son, I'll give him right back to you." And that son began to be raised at the house of God. And as he was at the house of God, she would bring him a little, the Bible says, a little coat. You know, that mother prepared that little coat, and that little coat went on her little boy, and that little boy became a great man of God in Israel's history. That little coat, I think of the little shepherd boy by the name of David. He was the last of the family, just a little shepherd boy. Here in our text, the Bible says in verse 17, they said to him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Don't turn for the sake of time." But in John chapter 6, verse number 4, it calls a little lad, and the boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Just a little lad with a little lunch. Do you realize that little lad's little lunch, God's going to take it and feed 5,000 men besides women and children? Do you realize that mother that morning may have gotten up and undoubtedly prepared her little lad's little lunch and said, "Now, son, you be sure to eat all of this." And he went to hear a man that was passing through town. They called his name Jesus. And that little lad walking with his little lunch, he began to look, and he heard, and they stayed all day. He never got to his lunch. That's amazing for a little boy. It was so captivating. That preacher was so captivating, as his name was Jesus, that he never decided to eat lunch. And it began toward the close of the day, and they said, "It's getting late now." The disciples said, let's send him away. And Jesus said, "They need not depart." They said, "Let's take care of them right here." They said, "We don't have anything. We hear there's this little lad. Son, can you open up your little lunch bucket there?" And they said, "Now, Master, there are 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?" And he said, "Bring them to me." And he blessed them, and he broke it. And he fed all the men and all the children and all the wives, and they gathered up the extra basket loads and they brought them back. You say, "Well, that's not possible." Oh, with God, all things are possible. You are living a life of fear and anger and drugs and addiction. God can handle that. God can do anything but one thing. He cannot fail, for he is God. Here's this little boy. And little things today done right are the foundation of big miracles that can take place in your life. The little things are the foundation. Success in life is a result of doing regularly and faithfully little things. Did you understand what we just said? Success in life, whether it be with a life, a marriage, a family, a job, a business, success is built off little things done right day after day after day. A young boy, New York City, New York. A young boy, so many years ago, would make his way down as he was a little clerk in the mercantile little area there. He'd make his way down to the little shop. And every day at 6 a.m. without fail, that little boy would open, that little young teenage boy would open the shutters. He'd sweep the sidewalks. He'd ready the goods at 6 a.m. Every day there was an older gentleman, hat on. He'd walk by the teenage boy. The teenage boy was always very polite. They really never talked much. But he'd say every day, "Good morning, sir." And the other man, he didn't know who he was, would say, "Good morning." He'd go on wherever he was going every day. He watched that boy doing the little things of the shutters, doing the little things of the sidewalks, doing the little things of placing the goods out where people could see him. One day the man did not come by. He said, "I wonder where the old man is today." And the second day he did not come by in several days. One day the young boy who did the little things was summoned to a lawyer's office. In the lawyer's office that day, they said, "Do you know a man by the name of?" He goes, I don't think so. He said he would walk by. "Oh, I know that man." He said, "I never found out where he worked, but he would pass by my store every day, day after day, month after month, and we'd just every day say good morning." He said, "That man is one of the owners of the largest stores in New York City. And in his will, he has given it to you because you took care of the little things every day." You know how important it is that we realize that God can take little things and do wonderful things with it. This week, you're going to be called upon as a student to do a little thing. Homework. Homework. Whether you're in high school or college, whether in our college here or secular university, you have homework, or you have projects, or you have book reports, or you have papers to write. You say, "Well, I'm just gonna forget about it. I'm just gonna buy a paper online." No, but you didn't help yourself because you didn't understand the importance of doing the little things. Doing your homework every single day, doing your studies every single day, reviewing whatever you're working on every single day. God blesses the little things. It might be a bill. This church has for 42 years been so good to us. I am not asking for a thing, but I don't know of anybody in the ministry that has excess. I guess I hear about these guys owning 6 Rolls Royce and 2 planes and all that stuff and having investments here and there and multiple properties and all these things. And I know there's shenanigans going on in the ministry like in every area of life. And I think we've been here long enough to know that that's not the way we live. But God has been good to us. But you know that every month, all these many years of marriage, I've just had to ask God to help me. Because I believe when you get a bill, you pay a bill. Oh, granted, it was a little bit harder in the early days when God knows that there were some days we didn't really have even the foundational money for food. And God would let us pray it in. There have been times like that. And I had to, keep the ball up in the air with all the different bills. I know that. But I always made sure they're on time. And now my policy is if the bill comes in, you pay the bill. A few times I can't release the bill until additional funds come, but I'm not going to have them late. A lady I somehow, this happened probably 25 years ago. We've been in Santa Clara for all these 40-some years, and somehow my bill for my utilities, I either misplaced it, I didn't get it, but something went wrong. And I got looking and I said, I don't remember paying that bill this month. And I went down to the city hall where they had the utility place and I said, "You know, I get a bill And I either lost it, I misplaced it, and I don't know when it's due, but it's got to be about right now. And the lady said to me, her first words out of her mouth, I didn't know the lady from anywhere. She said to me, well, Pastor, she didn't use my name, Jack, that's on the utility bill, or Tree Bird's on the utility bill. She said, well, Pastor, let me check. And she said, let me check. And when she did, she says, you know, it is rare. And she said this, it is rare that you did not pay this bill, because you pay your bill on time every month. You see, friend, that's just a little thing. I think sometimes we think we can go buy a, I don't know what a Frappuccino is, but I and it's got the frosting stuff on top, I know. But I don't know how much those cost, $3, $4, $5, whatever they cost. Go ahead, if you can afford it, get one. But if you can't pay your utility bill, you ought not to be eating a drinking a Frappuccino. That's the little things. I'm so glad I was honest with that bill. The little thing. Because little things become big things. Pillowing your head at night with anger in your heart toward your wife. God says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. It's a little thing. But there ought to be a little thing where we say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Why is it that we let things fester? It gets harder the second day and the third day and the fourth day. The importance of little things. And here's this little boy with five loaves. And Jesus said in verse 18, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. They took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragment that remained, 12 basketful. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. It's a little thing to put your turn signal on. I don't know if my wife knows this, but she told me somewhat. She's told me for years. And I've been so convicted, because I said, you know, she tells me to use my turn signal. I mean, good night, people ought to just know I'm coming. That's my lane, I own it, so I'm coming. And I've been trying to do this. I've been trying longer than she knows I've been trying to do it and working at it. Why? Because it's right. And I was driving down Santa Moss Expressway yesterday. And I was in this lane needing to get over to this lane. And I turned my turn signal on. And I thought she'd be proud of me if she knew. And I turned it on. And this crazy guy, he's crazy guy in the other lane, he was just flying. And I said, I better wait till he goes by. He's driving like some lady. I'm driving like some that was a funny, folks. Don't worry, all right? Some of you get nervous about that. He's just driving so fast. I'm going to pile us up. You know what that guy did? Because he saw the turn signal, he slowed down. And he let me in. You know, I could have got that man all irritated if I just got in his lane, because I didn't give my little notice. Jack's coming. The importance of little things. The importance of not flying through a red light. You'll probably get away with it. A ticket, and we probably will not even hit somebody. But friend, you realize your whole world can be turned upside down with one act of foolishness? The little thing. The little thing. I haven't talked to my mother in 4 years. Someone says, well, that little thing has now become a big thing. Because the Bible still says, honor thy father and thy mother, and it shall be well with thee. It's still Bible. The importance of little things. Little things. Hold the door for a woman. Stand when a woman comes into your presence. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. Please. Thank you very much. It's a little thing to write a tithe and tithe. It's a little thing, but it's a foundational thing. Friend, our lives are built off of these little things. But may I say the flip side is true as well in closing. Because we can destroy a life with little things left undone. Little foxes, Song of Solomon 2:15, little foxes spoil the vine. You don't deal with those little things and they grow if you're not careful. You know, Adam and Eve's sin was not really that big a sin. It wasn't murder. It wasn't adultery. It wasn't drug addiction. Really, it was just a little thing. But the little thing was a big thing because they chose to disobey God. Just one little thing. So when I don't commit adultery, and I'm not on drugs or drink, yeah, but it's a little sin. I was praying this week about my own life, and God brought to my attention Hebrews as he was speaking to me about me, not about you, and let us lay aside every weight that which hinders our race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Do you realize that every person in this room, myself included, has sins that easily get us sidetracked? Easily get us sidetracked. And the wise Christian is the one that can identify, this is my sin. It may not be what we call the sin of murder and the sin of adultery and the sin of this or the sin of that. It may be the sin of pride. I will not tell that woman I'm sorry. After all, I'm the man here. It's her fault. It may be the sin of pride. I have a man that came to me some years ago, and he's a good Christian. He's a godly Christian. And I said, the biggest sin that I know that I deal with in my life is pride. And it hurt me to hear him say that, because in my life, he is a great Christian hero and he hasn't changed. But I thought, Lord, if this man is so honest with his life that he tells his pastor, I have the sin of pride, it is so easy to get my pride up. We all have sin. Yours might be the sin of fear. Yours might be the sin of being negative and sowing discord or gossip. Yours might be a sin of, I've got so many to get trapped by money. I am watching it the longer I'm in the ministry, how families are dividing over money. Money. The love of it's the root of all evil. It's a small thing. It's a seed. And as I look in the Bible, Lot really had a little sin. He just moved to a location where he shouldn't have moved. And he set his family in a place where they looked upon sin. What a foolish move. Gehazi, it was just a garment. I need that garment. I need those clothes. And that little sin of desiring clothes and wanting clothes and possessions. Achan had a little sin. It was that wedge of gold. And he took it and he hid it. It's a little sin. Pride, Bible said of Saul, the king in the Old Testament, the first king. He was head and shoulders a big man above every, he was goodly to look upon. But it was just a short couple chapters later where he began to disobey God. And God says, when thou was little in thy sight, God could honor him. But God says, I have rejected thee. God took his hand and his blessing off of Saul because a little thing. The scripture is so very powerful. If you read this week, what does God want you to deal with? What little things does God want you to deal with? Is it honesty? Do you always tell the truth? I've pastored people in my life in these 42 years here that they cannot tell the truth. They just cannot tell the truth. They always fabricate it. They're not honest. That's a sin. Oh, you're not committing adultery. You're not doing drugs. In closing, let me take you up to Canada. In Canada, a man was in his house. It wasn't a large house, but sort of back in the woods. As he stayed there that night, a huge blizzard came in. He'd hear on the other side of the mountain sometimes the sound of the train moving. But on this night, it was so still as the blizzard came in. Before long, someone came knocking and pounding at his door. It's very odd. One, a blizzard, and two, he's out there somewhat by himself. He opened the door. The man that came in said, "Sir, the train is on the track. It has stalled tonight. People cannot stay on the train. They'll freeze. There's not many passengers, but I need to get them to safety. Will you come help me?" The man lit a little lantern. He took his little lantern. They marched through those trees and down the other side, and they got to the train that had stalled. They said to those few passengers, "Follow me." And they took with his little lantern those people to his little place, I'll call it a cottage, but a little place where there was warmth that night. The people stayed. That night there was a young lady that was there, so appropriate, so sweet. And when the next morning and they got the train going, they all left. That little lady, young girl, young adult girl, wrote him back a thank you note. Here's a man with a little lantern and a little cottage, and now received a little note from a little young lady. He wrote her back, and he thanked her for the letter, and he thanked her for being so kind to him. Fred was amazed that she wrote back again. And then he wrote back again. They discovered the salvation of both of their testimonies that was so clear. He could tell she was a Christian that night that they stayed there. She could tell he was a Christian. They fell in love. They got married. Her name was Kitty. Kitty wrote a song several years ago. They entered into a ministry of leading music and singing and her playing the piano. She wrote a song from that incident. It's in our songbook, page 94. "Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth and or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Little is much." I think sometimes we're looking at doing the grand, big things. God wants me this week, and I'm preaching to me because I keep thinking all week long, little things, little things. I told the teenagers the other day, I was preaching on Wednesday, I always tell my wife every evening meal, "Thank you." I always tell her. And I said, "You know, I got thinking the other night, I forgot to tell her." And I went upstairs to get ready on a Tuesday night to go soul winning. And I came back when I said, "I'm going to come downstairs and I'm going to tell her thank you for the meal," and I forgot again. I said, "Kids, the next morning in my Bible time, I thought I didn't tell my wife thank you." You know, that's not very difficult to do. But I'll tell you what, if I had to cook, I'd starve to death. I have no idea how to do it. But someone that loves me, who probably herself would not make that full meal like we have every night, she cares enough for me to feed me and nourish me. Can't I say thank you? God has put on my mind so many times where I've failed this week with the little things. You know, there's someone that's maybe going to be in your presence and they need a gospel tract that shows the Bible plan of salvation. It's a little thing, but how many times have we missed it? I want to challenge every man and every lady and every young person, the importance of little things. Father, I hope this message, though feeble today, would find lodging place in the heart of every hearer, those that watch in the countries around the nations, and those that are here. God, I want to be a good person this week. I want to be a good Christian this week. I want to be a good husband and father and grandfather. God, help us to be mindful of the little things. Like this little boy, a little lad with a little lunch, who many pastors in the nation and world will preach about this little boy today. Our heads are bowed. It really is a little thing, but a big thing takes place when you acknowledge you're a sinner and God saves you. That's a big thing. God gives you a home in heaven. He writes your name in the book of life. But it begins with just a little thing, acknowledging I'm a sinner. Admitting to God, I'm a sinner. And admitting to God, I need to be born again. And this morning, in a moment, we'll stand. And when we stand, people will come forward to get saved. And a man will show a man in a matter of moments. And a lady will show a lady how to be saved. Teenagers, you could get saved today. And then I believe there's some people that ought to come say, I'm going to mind the little things this week. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Will you please stand with me, please?